Good evening and welcome to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and thrilled to be back again. Every month we take the time out to really talk about volunteerism, to meet volunteer leaders, and really see what's happening in the Lehigh Valley community. And tonight we have a great guest with us, and he is the Executive Director of Phantoms Charities. So audience, please join me in welcoming Tim Burke.
Oh, thank you, Laurie. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Tim. We've known each other for a long time. We've worked side by side on lots of committees. And I know you have a relatively new position running Phantoms Charities for almost a half a year. Is that right?
Just 5 months now. Yeah. So
well, tell us about it. What does the executive director do of Phantoms Charities?
So Phantoms Charities is an amazing organization, obviously run by the Phantoms hockey club here in the Lehigh Valley. Kind of a little known gem, I think. You know, a lot of people, of course, we know the Phantoms team, and you may know about our 50-50 raffles during the auction, but they don't know about the programs that we run. One of the signature programs is our sled hockey team. It's just an amazing program for kids 5 to 16 with movement challenges, where we have specially designed sleds where they play hockey on Phantoms ice in the PPL Center.
And listeners, if you ever want a chance, I'm sure Tim will share information at the end, to see something magical. It is watching kids and their families and their enthusiasm when they can get on the ice and play sled hockey.
It's an amazing experience. And like you said, I've only been with the team 5 months now. I've only had a chance to close out the season at the end of the year last year. Super excited for us to start this year. We had an amazing moment last year where our last practice of the game we call Strengths and Strides, where we bring the players and the families together. And one of our players, his name is Sammy, he's 9 years old. As I was kind of interviewing all the players and asking them about the season and their experience, he called me over because he was just so excited to make sure that I knew that his brother was on the ice that night. We had the chance to let his brother play, and it was just one of those things that people don't really realize that an organization like Phantoms Charities provides is the letting kids be kids, but have that experience of playing hockey with your brother. And that was the first time Sammy got to experience that. I was so happy to be there.
Oh, thanks for sharing that story, because you're right. I think people don't realize we go to hockey games, we go to concerts there, and we hear the term Phantoms Charities, but you're right. People might not realize when they buy a 50-50 ticket, it goes to support programs like that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have so many programs. I could take the entire program going on about them. One other one I'll mention very briefly. We call Phantoms Fit, where we donate ball hockey equipment to middle schools. We know that schools' budgets are stretched thin, and when they have to make cuts, it often comes from those physical education programs. That, of course, near and dear to our hearts. So we want to help those middle schools out by giving them brand new hockey equipment. And then, of course, we're Phantoms. We're fun. We bring Melvin. We bring the players. We have an assembly. We teach some drills and, you know, give them this present of some new equipment.
So are the Phantoms professional players, are they involved in some of this outreach?
They are. Our players are just amazing. Coming to the sled hockey practices, meeting with my athletes on the sled hockey team, participating in those Phantoms Fit. They're a great bunch of guys. Hockey players are a special breed, and giving back to the community. One of our players last year initiated a donation program to Phantoms Hockey. His idea, he came up with this all on his own, where he said, I'm going to donate $1 for every goal the team scores. Do we think we get that match? So we had, you know, two more matches to that. Velospan matches that, as well as the Phantoms team itself. And it was all because he saw the work that we were doing, and he said, I want to be a part of this, and I want to help it.
Mm-hmm. And the season's just about to start. Is that right?
Yes. October 12th is our first home game of the season. We'll have two preseason games, the first and the fifth, before that. And super excited. We're going to be hosting the rookie series again this year, where the Rangers will be in town taking on the Flyers.
Look at you. You sound like a real hockey person. Did you play hockey, or do you play hockey?
I did not play hockey. Don't play hockey. It's one of my favorite sports to watch. I always think it's the most exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. As you've mentioned, you've known me for a long time. So anytime that I'm involved in something, I am all in, right? And when I started with the team, I just want to know everything there is to know about hockey and about hockey operations. And
that's wonderful. Well, what the team, Rob and Jim Brooks, what they've done for this community since arriving, right? It's incredible.
You know, you use the word community, and I use that a lot in our space and the stuff that we work in. You may have heard that the Blue Zone is coming to the Lehigh Valley. The Phantoms are sponsors of that program. And when I was first involved in the conversation about it, if you know anything about Blue Zones, one of the key components is community. And I'm like, that's PPL Center.
Right.
We come to PPL Center to watch concerts, to go to hockey games, for our high school graduations, for all these major milestone moments, and it's bringing us all together.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have chills. I mean, I just think, and we do this on this program every month, we just have the chance to really pause, reflect, meet people like you, Tim, who are right in the heart of things and really making incredible things happen.
That's amazing. Thank you for saying that. I'm just one small cog in a great community here.
Well, how did you – I know you've worked at other nonprofits, and you also volunteer a lot. I know you're active on the Nonprofit Business Partners Council of the Chamber, and I know you do other things, Heart Association. There are other programs that you do. How did you get into volunteering, and why do you do it?
I will admit, I got involved in volunteering because somebody invited me for a martini to celebrate a golf tournament wrap up, and next thing I knew, I was on the golf I was on the golf planning committee, and it just snowballed from there. But I very quickly realized the value and the power of that. It takes a lot of people to put events together, and I knew I needed to be a part of that. Personally, I will say I got a lot out of it in that, you know, I got to know people like you. So many of the community leaders that I now call my friends, I know because we served on committees together, or we were, you know, bagging lunches for United Way Day of Caring together, or we were painting walls together at an event. You just get a chance to meet these great community leaders and share these ideas and build a connection.
Mm-hmm. And Tim, I know you gave those great examples that sometimes you show up and you're painting a room or landscaping or doing something, you know, that's for that day, an episodic volunteer opportunity. I know there are also times when we bring skills and gifts, and I know you are a great marketing person. So do you have any examples of how somebody might use their professional skills and bring them to your volunteer work?
You know, I know through the Volunteer Center's program, they really hone in on doing just that, you know, that skills-based volunteering. For me personally, it's been, you know, I get involved in the committees and the boards, and then when you're breaking down into the subcommittees where it's, hey, it's time to plan this event. Who wants to work on planning designing the brochure, getting the social media out there? That's where we can break apart into our skill sets. The other thing that I've found, especially some of my friends and colleagues have expressed, they get a chance to use a skill that they don't get to use at work. You know, so many people are so creative and so talented, and they work in a field that doesn't utilize that. So they get to play to their strengths in something that they're passionate about and give back to the community through that.
Great example. I was just talking to somebody this morning about, along those same lines, you also get the chance to learn new things. So I usually get on the fundraising committees at things. And this morning I was saying, well, I'd like to be on the finance committee because that's an area I want to grow more in. I want to learn more about. So there's also that cross opportunity.
You know, that's an amazing opportunity or amazing example, you know, especially, you know, working in the nonprofit space, you know, we're all stretched thin. We're all working hard. It's going to be really hard to get that finance director to give you 30 minutes, 45 minutes to talk about a balance sheet. But when you're working in that collaborative space in volunteering, you're going to have that learning experience and the time to go through those things that just won't happen in a 9-to-5.
Absolutely. Tim, what inspires you? Like, is there someone in your life who taught you or someone that really has motivated you and inspired you to do good?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I was re-listening to some of your old podcasts, and you mentioned when Rob Brooks was on the show. And it reminded me, he shared a story with you that he actually shared with me in my interview of the team. And it was, if you want to live in a community that you're proud of, you need to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that really is what inspires me the most. As far as individuals, I draw inspiration from so many people. You mentioned I sit on a lot of boards and sit on a lot of committees, and so many amazing people here in the Lehigh Valley giving back of themselves and of their companies and of their time, talent, and treasure. I take inspiration from every one of them.
That's wonderful. Is there a nonprofit where you haven't been involved yet that you'd love to maybe start to work with, animals or older adults? Is there anything that you're thinking about if you had time?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I actually had to pull back from some of them when I moved, when I stepped into this role. Food insecurity and housing support are causes very, very near and dear to my heart. That's, you know, my last role was in that. So if I could get back into that work a little bit, that would be something I would want to do. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And certainly Valley needs the help, needs your expertise. And there's lots of great partners, United Way, New Bethany, lots of places to go, certainly.
Yeah, so amazing people doing some great work in that mm-hmm. field.
Tim, when you think about all that you've done and still certainly will do, is there a moment in time, and I love to ask this question, when you knew you were exactly where you should be?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think I've had a couple of them. You know, when I started at New Bethany, I had that feeling. When I came to the Phantoms and I got to learn some of the programming, and I think relatively new experience, but my first home game as an employee of the Phantoms, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I thought I'm going to be working the event. That's not going to be fun, but there was so much energy in the arena mm-hmm. and feeling that from the fans, mm-hmm. it was I knew I'd made the right choice right there. Right?
And you're a part of that. Yeah. And you're probably, were you wearing an orange tie?
I was wearing an orange tie.
There yep. you go. That's what we like. Tim, how could people get involved? We spend a lot of time in this program talking about volunteer opportunities and why it's so great for people. What opportunities are there with Phantoms Charities?
So getting involved with Phantoms Charities, everything we do is unique and it's a way to give back to the community. The way most people get involved with Phantoms Charities is volunteering at our 50-50 sales. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't realize is we do a charity partner of the game. So we choose a different charity every week. They volunteer to sell the 50-50 for us. And for that volunteering, we donate 10% of the total 50-50. To that nonprofit. So it's a way for them to volunteer in their own organization or for an organization they care about, and then Phantoms Charities helps them out.
Is there a lot of training involved to teach the nonprofit or the volunteers how to sell 50-50?
I learned it in 2 minutes. It is super easy.
Okay, good. I know when we have Air Products Night there, we use a lot of volunteers, and they love the chance because you're interacting with people coming by and you're talking about Phantoms Charities.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just a great way for Phantoms Charities to partner with the other agencies here in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, I love it. Tim, how would they learn more? What is there a number, an email address?
They can go to phantomshockey.com. My email address is under the team's listings right there. Under that phantomshockey.com, there's a Phantoms Charities tab. You can learn about all of our programs and the ways that you could financially support Phantoms Charities if you chose to.
Great. Well, Tim, thanks so much for being with us. Last question. I know inside the PPL Center, there's the ribbon that runs around inside it. If you could put a message on that ribbon on a night that there are 8,000 people in the arena, what would you want that message to be?
I'm going to draw right off of our own inspiration. It's our valley, our home. We care for the place that we live, work, and give. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Perfect. What a great ending. So again, listeners, we were so pleased tonight to be joined by Tim Burke, who's Executive Director of Phantoms Charities and an active volunteer leader in the community. Thanks again, Tim.
Thank you so much, Lori.
And we'll be right back.
On the Media tackles sticky issues with a frankness and transparency that has built trust while maintaining the civility and fairness that are the hallmarks of public radio. Host Brooke Gladstone and guests cover politics, science, social media, entertainment, and all aspects of the media world in depth. On the Media investigative reporting can help you sort through the news of the day. Listen Tuesday at 6 p.m. following All Things Considered on 88.1 WDIY, streaming or on the WDIY app.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and our second guest tonight is Lena Barbieri from Miller Keystone Blood Center. Welcome, Lena.
Well, thank you, Laurie. I'm just so happy to be here. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, thrilled to have you. We have known each other. How long?
Is it 20? I don't know if it's 20. Yes. It's at least 15.
Yes, at least
maybe
15.
20.
When we graduated from high school.
Absolutely.
Yes, 15 yes. years ago.
High school.
But Lena, I know you are such a dedicated community leader. You've been involved in different nonprofit organizations. You are a passionate, enthusiastic, we were just talking about that, person who just brings great perfection and authenticity to every single thing that you do. So I think every person who knows you would say the exact same thing.
You're way too kind, but thank you. I often say, what I lack in skill, I can make up for in passion and energy.
Oh, so I love it. I love it. Just keep dancing. And
just
they won't,
keep
yes,
dancing.
Yes, exactly. Well, Lena, you are the, you know, you're with Miller Keystone Blood Center, an organization that certainly our listeners know about. We all certainly revere, hold in such high regard in the Valley. You're the chief philanthropy officer, and I know you've been there just 2 years. Tell us what that means. What is your role at Miller Keystone?
So at Miller Keystone, the top priority is blood donation. We love our volunteer blood donors, and many come in so that we are able to help the patients in the regions that we serve. We also need financial support, and so that's where I come in. So I watch my colleagues every day work really hard to get the 350 people in a day that we need to give blood so that we can serve our hospitals. I feel like I sometimes have the much easier job fundraising for this organization because it's so important and it's so valuable. You hate to say easy, but it's a lovely thing to do. It is easy, I'm going to say it, because it's such good work and it's such a great organization. And these folks are saving lives that when I say, well, we need a piece of equipment or we need support on the operating side or any of those things, organizations, people, foundations, they want to help.
Right. And so, they step up.
And they do. They step up quickly and passionately. And so, yes, it's.
So you said it's easy because one of my questions was going to be, and I've been a volunteer fundraiser for some things, and it's been kind of hard. So what is it, what is your strategy or what is your secret that it's you have an easy job raising funds?
I think it goes back to the passion. Easy is a term that ease and peace and joy, those are all terms that sort of for me are the same. And so, yeah, you might work a 10 or a 12-hour day, and I don't do that every day. But there's joy in that, and there's peace in that, and there's ease in that. So when I say easy, I think that's more what I mean as opposed to, huh, piece of cake. We're raising so much money, and it's like a piece of cake. It's joyful. It's peaceful. It's good, solid work. I get to be with some amazing organizations and foundation folks, and there's a relationship that you get to create. And that's where the ease comes in.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I don't know if I answered the question, but that's...
No, absolutely. And I can just see it, by the way, in your own enthusiasm, right?
I just love it. I love this. I have been really, you know, I am on the back nine of my career, let's face it, right? And I have been really fortunate to work for some amazing organizations. So in terms of career, I've been lucky. And these last 2 years, at the end of your career, you're kind of going, wow, I'm getting to do this in the back nine. This is amazing. I'm getting chills.
And
like
I'm crying.
And folks, you know, it's 2 years in now, and folks will say to me, "How's the new job?" And I'll say, "It's fabulous. It's, you know, it's ridiculous how often I say how fabulous it is." And I'm thinking, it's 2 years and it's still fabulous. That's pretty fortunate for me in my career. I'm very fortunate.
I was just talking with our mutual friend, Laura McHugh, this morning, and we were talking about the concept of when someone is so perfectly placed in their career, when what you love to do, what you're good at, what matters to you, your values all come together, and that seems exactly where you are.
And I would have never seen it coming. It was a very unconventional hire. It was an organization that I, much like everyone else, knew about. I also took for granted that if I ever needed blood, it would be there. So I didn't have a really good sense of the interworkings of the organization. But here I am, and I'm just going, this is a fortunate placement for me. And I hope Miller feels the same. I mean, I know I skip into work every day, literally. I mean, I know that sounds unrealistic, but I do.
That's true. That's great. Now, a lot of other people who do fundraising, I know it's a field that obviously you're an expert in. Do you think young people are choosing development or fundraising work as a career? How do people get into this work?
I think a lot of my colleagues would say they fell into it. I know I did. I started my career in public relations and marketing. Mm-hmm. And then the next reasonable step was an opportunity for development. I had to learn it. But it's all the same skill set. The skill set that comes with marketing and public relations and even sometimes sales, it's all that relationship, learning how to deepen relationships. And I think if young people aren't choosing it, they should. Mm-hmm. Because if they can match something they're passionate about with something that they can then raise money for, become a leader in, and really make a difference for one particular organization or even a field. Wow, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Lena, I hear people talk about with fundraising and speaking to people about making a connection to give, talking about impact is important. Could you share a little bit about the impact of giving to Miller Keystone?
Sure, surely. I think for me, that was when I realized how valuable my own personal philanthropy could be when organizations would tell me the impact. And so we at Miller try to share with our financial supporters what the impact of their gift is. And I'll give you an example. We have a program, it's called Tech Heroes. And we had some folks join. And at the end of the year, we were able to turn around and say, okay, folks, look what we bought with your funds. And each of these items, one was a courier vehicle, one that we bought two centrifuges. This is what these two items, these three items, these four items, this is what they do for Miller. I mean, a courier vehicle, we have 25 in our fleet. When a group of people get together and buy us one, that's valuable. It gets blood to the hospitals. It gets blood from the drives. There's a lot of moving. There's a lot of, those vehicles are all over the place. I'm sure folks have seen them, right? There's a lot of movement. So, and we put a lot of miles on them, so we need them. So showing the impact, I think it's the best thing you can do. Sometimes it gets lost. There's always so much to do, right? Mm-hmm. But picking up the phone and saying thank you to someone, mm-hmm. shooting someone an email, I was thinking about you today, and I just wanted to tell you that gift you gave us for X, whatever the thing you can do to touch your donors mm-hmm. as much as you can and not get swallowed up by all the things to do, I think there's value in that.
Well said. Thank you. Lena, where did you get this inspiration? Was there someone when you were growing up in college, in your family? What is it in you that makes this, all of this bundle of enthusiasm and sincerity and professionalism and drive and everything else?
So my mom, we grew up without a lot. And I didn't know this then, but when I reflect on it, my mom, as a family, we never knew we didn't have a lot. And I also watched my mom at the end of the week always do something for some other family. And she didn't raise her hand and say, I'm a philanthropist. And she didn't, I mean, she just had this big, giant heart. And she always knew there was somebody else that needed something more than we did. And so when you get, again, to the back nine of your career and you're thinking about what made you become who you are, I mean, my mom's gone now. She's gone for about 15 years, but I think about her all the time because I like to believe that I have a lot of the same qualities that she had, which were kindness and passion and just generosity. And so I think that might be what drives some of this for me. Mm-hmm. Plus, I get to work at a really great organization. So that coupled with who you are as a human being can spark a fire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I appreciate that. We were talking in the first interview tonight when Tim Burke was here, and we were talking about how often your professional skills bleed over into your personal mm-hmm. life, or there are things at work that you take out to volunteering. Have you had that? Have you had some learnings either way? Either you learned it at work and it helped you at home, or you learned it volunteering and it helped you at work? Anything?
So I, you know, you hear the phrase work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And I prefer the phrase work-life integration. There are days where, you know, I make my husband come with me somewhere, or I take my kids to do something with me that's related to my job or something, or vice versa. I take my family to work and have them help me with something. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I think I don't keep track of the hours I'm working or the hours I'm not working. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, I like to believe I'm giving the proper amount of hours to my employer, but the integration of the work that you do should spill over. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I answered your question.
You did. And what I think what you're saying is, and it's not taxing to you. It's all, sometimes boundaries are blurred, but you're choosing that. You're choosing to bring your family into your work. You're choosing that.
Yep. And they have, again, really fortunate to have such a great career, like really great organizations. But they have seen a change in me in the last 2 years, sort of like, wow, this was a really great move for you.
Are either of your children, do you think they might go into this similar kind of field?
I don't know if they'll go into the field, but they both have sort of a heart for philanthropy. Now, they're very young, so they can't do very much yet from a financial standpoint. But I tell them, so buy a coworker some groceries, something like that. So they both have a heart for other people.
What are you seeing in your work? I know you're out a lot at events. How are you feeling about the Lehigh Valley in general, given their generosity and willingness to give?
I've been in Lehigh Valley 37 years. I love this area. I'm from a much less personal area. I'm from Northeast Jersey, and I came to the Lehigh Valley, and it's just people are, they know each other, and they are kind to each other. Yeah, I just think that this area realizes, and I think that's why we're such a great growing community, right? Because people recognize that there's something special here, and they, corporations, foundations, individuals, they support the things that matter to them. So, yeah, there is something very special here, and I think very profound in terms of the way folks give. There's a lot of generosity in the Lehigh Valley, and an enormous amount.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that and say there's generosity. I mean, you see it with the philanthropy and the dollars, and also with people's time.
Absolutely.
And energy to give back and make a difference.
I know organizations financially, but also with your employees, Air Products, the work that the United Way does, all the organizations that are, you know, this is close to my heart, that are feeding people, right? Feeding people and housing people and just trying to find help for people. One person can't do everything, but if we all do something, we can really make a difference.
That's wonderful. Lena, we're coming to the end of the show, unfortunately, but I wanted to make sure that our listeners understood if they wanted to get involved with Miller Keystone to support and donate in a few different ways. What might be some of those ways and how could they get in touch?
Surely. So there's three primary ways that folks can help Miller. Blood donor, priority. If you can and are able and are willing to at least explore it, please become a blood donor. Second way is volunteers. We can't actually do, we have 122 people who volunteer for us. If they all walked away, we are paralyzed. Volunteer work is amazing, and it's kind of fun at Miller to do volunteer work. And then financial support. We can always use help to purchase equipment or for operating expenses. And all of those items are on our website, which is giveapint.org, which is very clever, I think. But that's our website. That's our web address.
I love it. As we close out the show, Lena, is there a final message or thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I'm not usually comfortable about talking about myself, but this spoke to me in terms of I get to share with folks the beautiful work that this organization that kind of quietly makes sure that there's a blood supply for us. We never know when we might need blood, trauma, cancer, anything that could happen that we will personally need blood. So please know it's there. It's hard to get, and there is a shortage, so we would welcome more of it. But yeah, I think that would just to remind folks that this organization is quietly doing this work, and we could surely use some help.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Lena.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have been here.
Well, listeners, again, we were joined tonight by two just outstanding community leaders, Tim Burke, Executive Director of Phantoms Charities, and Lena Barbieri, who is the Chief Philanthropy Officer for Miller Keystone Blood Center. Remember that you can find past episodes of A Closer Look and any other public affairs programming that we do here at WDIY. You can find that on WDIY.org or on any major podcast platform wherever you listen. And be sure and tune in next Monday for even more public affairs programming on WDIY. And we can't wait to see you next time on A Closer Look.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.